Open your Bible to Psalm 91. Good morning. Psalm 91. This is our memory verse for the month. It's our focus verse. Well, there's actually a couple of focus verses for this morning. Psalm 91 and verse 2. Got quite a bit of scripture. Probably next week I'm going to talk about a guy named Hezekiah. I haven't finished it yet, so I got to preach something else that I've been working on. This month we're learning about how to trust in God. We think we do. But you know, the Bible puts a lot of emphasis on trust. Now, if you're a pagan and you believe in idols and you believe in Zeus and Mercury and you believe in fairies and leprechauns, then you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe that there is one God. Okay? But as I said last week, it is very important that you not only believe that there is one God and that He loves you and He died for you, and you need to believe that. But you need to trust Him. And there is something about trusting God that this month we're going to learn and focus on. Psalm 91 verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. What does that mean? Why, why would you need a fortress for protection? You need a place that you can run and hide and feel safe in. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. And then He just sums it up, my God, and in Him will I trust. Now, that's a word. The word trust is a very strong word. Faith is kind of abstract. Everybody has faith. Very few people trust. When we talk about trust, it means to depend upon God, to rely on Him, to allow Him to hold you when there's nothing else that will. Now, we depend on a lot of things in life. We depend on our food. We depend on water, air. We depend on our bones. We depend on physical things because they're essential for us to live. You know, we depend upon people. We depend upon gravity. We depend on that sun being there every day, going through the sky. We depend on our parents, our spouses. We depend on our cars. We even try and depend on our government and our courts. But if you haven't noticed yet, everything that we depend on usually fails. They break. They stop working. We get let down. Well, you know, while you're depending on things, you'll go into Eason's or you'll go into some bookstore, and there is one of the largest sections in any bookstore is on self-help. And the big thing for the last 25 years, or maybe even longer, has been trust yourself. Trust your heart. And the truth of that is, that's a joke. Because you will let yourself down more than anybody else. You just won't admit it. I'm here to get you to rely on somebody who's perfectly dependable. His name is Jesus. He is the Lord God Almighty come down in the flesh. He's the God who created heaven and earth, and it would be a whole lot easier for me to build a church teaching people to trust in themselves, to rely more on yourself, because it's very popular. But that changes nothing. It leaves you the same way you came in. As As we read there in Psalm 91, people need a solid rock to stand upon. They need a refuge to run to, a fortress to feel safe in. And that rock is not a church or a religious group. It is Jesus the Messiah. And here, Psalm 90 and 91 were psalms that were written by Moses. And Moses says these words, I will say of the Lord. And he's not saying, I find it easy. He's not saying, oh, this comes so natural. He's saying, I will say this. I choose to run to God. I will make Him my refuge and my fortress. I will make sure that in every thought of mine, He is my only God. And in Him, I choose to trust. That's Moses talking. Now, when you think about it, now I'm going to take you to the verse where we're really going to struggle. Matthew 27. Because when we say to trust in the Lord, I want you to understand what that means. I've already said, Matthew 27, I already said it means to depend upon God, to rely on Him, to close your eyes and to know that God is watching over you, caring for you, working everything out for your good. That Bible does still say we know that and we know that all things work together for good. We that's still in the Bible. We just don't trust it. Look at Matthew 27 and 43, and I want you to see somebody on a cross. Matthew 27, we'll start probably go back to verse 42. Well, look at verse 41. Likewise, also the chief priests. Jesus has been hung on that cross. He has been beaten beyond recognition. He is hanging there, pulling himself up to take each breath. And as he's hanging on that cross, the chief priests were mocking him with all the scribes and the elders down at the base of that cross. And look what they said. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. Verse 43 is the key verse. He trusted in God. I look at him now. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. What's even harder? Those were the religious extremist zealots mocking Jesus, but the thieves also, which were crucified with him, one on each side, they both said the same thing and cast the same things in their teeth. What was Jesus doing when he was hung on that cross? Trusting God. Every step of his life, he trusted his Father as a man. What does it mean to trust the Lord? Jesus Christ is the greatest example of all time, of what it means to trust God. Let me tell you, by looking at the life of Jesus Christ, let me first tell you what trusting God is not. First of all, if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you'll find that trusting God does not mean that there are no problems in your life. There's a false gospel out there that pushes this idea that when you follow Jesus, all your problems just melt away. That's a false reason to get saved. You don't get saved to get rid of your problems. You get saved to get rid of your sin. You get saved to be delivered from hell. You may still have to sick. You know, somebody in the hospital say, I'll get saved if Jesus will get me out of the hospital. That's not the promise. Well, Pastor, I'm in jail here. And if I get saved, will He get me out of jail? Probably not. I'm not going to promise that. He's not going to take you out of your problem. He'll take you out of your sin. Amen. Trusting God does not mean there'll be no more problems in your life. Trusting God does not mean there'll be no more disappointments or heartaches. Well, plenty of times Jesus just wept, and He wasn't weeping out of love. He was weeping out of disappointment. Does anybody believe me? Trusting God does not mean that you will never experience lack or hunger or loss. Jesus Christ went hungry. Paul experienced hunger, nakedness. He was destitute. He was alone much of his time. He sat in prison cells. All he could look at were prison walls and the bit of light coming through the gated door. But you tell me that if you trust God, all your problems are behind you. There'll be no more disappointments. It's only smooth sailing. Oh, if you're experiencing lack, Job, it must be because you're not with God. No, it may be you're right in the middle of the will of God. Don't buy this idea that, oh, Pastor, everything's falling apart. I don't know what to do. Trust God. You just keep trusting God. You see, you don't determine your relationship to God based on the circumstances. You base your relationship upon God to God upon Jesus Christ. And if you just rest on Him, then you're in a safe place. What else does it mean? It means that there'll be no... Don't you believe this lie that there'll be no failures in your life? One of the hardest things being Western Europeans is we hate failure. The rest of the world lives with it every day of their life. But we can't be seen as a failure. But you know, if you're a Christian, you're going to fail. You're going to fall, you're going to mess up, and you're going to mess up royally while you're trying to trust God. This is not that you set out to sin, but that you don't succeed in what you think God's asking you to do, what you're trying to do. You will fail. Why? Because you're flesh. Jesus never fails. So don't try in competition. Don't get the idea there'll be no failures in this life. If you're trusting God, fail. Fail in everything except holding on to Him. Looking at Jesus Christ, the disciples were at a distance, keeping their mouths shut. Jesus Christ had forewarned them and prepared them, but they couldn't believe it. Because to them, Jesus was a failure. Peter over there warming his hands by the fire from a very far distance, watching Jesus Christ being lied about, mocked, falsely accused, and he's sitting over there, and when somebody came up and says, "You're with Him," He said, "I don't know Him." Why would he say such a thing? Because Jesus embarrassed Peter. That Jesus wasn't fighting back. Jesus wasn't standing up. Jesus wasn't coming out of there and taking His rightful place on the throne. And He was headed to a cross. It's a failure place. That's where you'll go if you follow the Lord. You will not go to thrones of glory this side of heaven. You may end up like Peter, where you do not want to go. Jesus said, "Peter, you used to do whatever you wanted. But if you follow Me, you're going to go places you don't want to go." Don't forget. If you're trusting the Lord, there's going to be plenty of failures in your life. Nod your head. Amen. What else does it mean? And by the way, just talking about some of these things, you know, trusting God actually invites all these things. Look at Matthew 8. You're in Matthew 27. Look back in Matthew 8, verse 19. Matthew 8 and verse 19. You know, if you're trusting God, you have this attitude of bring it on. I'm trusting God. I'm not trusting my eyes. I'm not trusting my pocketbook. I'm not trusting my mother. I'm not trusting my church. Bring on the trouble. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master," and he's mocking him. But he says, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." He was lying through his teeth. Verse 20, and Jesus saith unto him, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air, they have nests. You sure you want to follow Me? Because the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." You say, "Jesus, don't you have a retirement house? Don't you have a summer home and a winter home? Don't you have, you know, things that make your life comfortable?" He says, "No, I don't." And yet you're trusting God? I sure am. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. in verse 8. Paul puts the word in the plural. He says, we. You know what that means? It's not a French word. He says, us. All believers. Don't sit there and go, well, I hope that doesn't include me. It includes you. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, yes, but not forsaken. Cast down. How many of you ever felt cast down in the last 2 weeks? Like somebody just came along and just pulled the rug out from under you, or just without you watching, just pushed you, and you found yourself emotionally on the floor, maybe physically, I don't know. And he says, we've been cast down, but not ever destroyed, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. If you looked at Paul, you know what Paul would say? Paul, you don't look so well. He says, I feel tired. Paul, you can't read so well. I know, my eyesight's going. I thought you were a Christian. I thought God would heal anything. He's not healing my eyes. I get tired. I've had aches and pains. Paul's probably in his 50s, and he's at physically at the end of himself. And he says, always bearing about in the body the dying. I just feel like, whew, I don't feel the strength of the resurrection yet. I feel the death of his cross. Why? Why would I allow myself to feel so weak? So that the life of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our body. I know that I get up in the morning and I don't have the strength, and yet there's the strength. I know I can't do what I want to do, and yet I get it done. Why? Because I trust God. One last thing about trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord does not mean you have nothing to do. See, faith is you not doing anything. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be. All right? So in order to get saved, I can do nothing. But in order to get through today, I'm going to have to do something. I can't just sit at home and say, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. You're going to starve, Jack. Amen. You see the difference? It's going to have to come a time where you start to trust the Lord and you get busy. 1 Corinthians 15. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. You know, when you start trusting God like you're meant to, you will find yourself working harder than you've ever worked before. Not to get saved. Not to get forgiven. Not to please God. Not to impress God. Not to get His love. But you work because you're trusting God. Let me show you here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Boy, you ought to put that on your mirror. You look at yourself and you think you're something. You're a hunk. Remember, it's by the grace of God, you're not 6 feet under. And you're not uglier than you are. By the grace of God, I am what I am. If anything is any good in your life, it's because God gave it to you. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. God didn't just pour out all of this unmerited favor, all of this unconditional kindness to me. He didn't just pour that upon me for nothing. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Talking about Peter, James, John, James, the stepbrother of Jesus. All the way through, he says, I work harder than they all. Yet, it never was I, but it was the grace of God which was with me. You see, God is no substitute for your responsibilities. You got a responsibility to go get a job and pay your bills. You cannot say, well, I can't pay my bill because Jesus hasn't paid it yet. What? Well, I posted it in prayer to God, and He's going to pay it. Your electricity is going off. You know, when you trust God, that doesn't mean that you can sit back and say, phew, I'm trusting God. I don't have anything to worry about. What you mean is, You don't have anything to do. You need to get busy doing what you're supposed to do. If you don't have a job and if you're not paying your bills, God says you're worse than an infidel. Some people pray instead of getting a job to pay their bills. Some people will read their Bibles when they should be fixing dinner. Some people want all the blessings of God without a consistent walk with God. You want God's blessings as a Christian? Get to work. Get to work. There's a lot of work to be done. Trusting God doesn't mean you just sit back and let the world go to hell. You know, now that you're saved by the grace of God, God expects you to work to get somebody else saved. And by the way, Jesus Christ, every day of His life, He never got more than 4 or 5 hours of sleep. He worked, didn't He? I mean, He walked everywhere. Everything He had, He worked for. It didn't fall out of the sky. There was a couple of times where Peter and Jesus needed to pay a tax. He says, go fish and you'll find the fish. But the rest of the time, all Jesus was doing was step by step doing what we do. That is working. A praying man, a praying woman who's trusting God still has to work. Are you listening? Still has to plan. Still has to pray. Still has to strive. Still has to wrestle. Sometimes you have to do without. Sometimes you have to hunger. Sometimes you have to put up with lack. Sometimes you'll experience disappointments and even failure. Sometimes you'll experience even the loss of everything, as Job did, while you're trusting the Lord. See, I'm not going to preach a false gospel that says, let's trust the Lord. It's going to get good. No, it may go south. It may just be a wipeout. But yea, though He slay me, Job says, yet will I trust in Him. Now, let me flip it around and tell you what trust in the Lord does mean. I've already said it, but I want to reinforce it. Trusting God means relying on Him. Relying on Him. You ever seen these nuts? They run a wire across two buildings. And then they go out there on that wire, you know. I saw an advertisement for Volvo. Had these Volvo trucks. I didn't believe what I was seeing. First of all, I see this guy and he's doing the splits between these two trucks on the mirrors, you know, he's Ben, what's his name? Ben, huh? Van Damme? That's not a good name. I changed my name, amen. Anyway, the son of Damme, that's what Van Damme means. Anyway, so he's up there and he's doing the splits. And he what got wilder was the trucks were going backwards while they're splitting. And he's trusting that those trucks aren't going to shimmy or whatever and he's going to go down and die. You know, I come to find out he had a harness on him. And they airbrushed it out. You know what? We're just like that ad. We put on a show, I'm trusting God. Look what I can do. I'm not going any further. We're putting on a show that, look, I'm able to do this because I'm trusting God. To trust in God means to rely on something more than what you can do. I'd put on the harness, wouldn't you? I'd have a helicopter holding me up and 6 cranes and everything else. Amen? Somebody says, your religion's just a crutch. No, my Savior is my Savior. I cannot trust in anything better than Him. It means to rely on Him, just as Jesus did, as Job did. Joseph, when he was thrown first in a hole, then into slavery, then into prison, you know what Joseph did? He trusted God. You say, man, that's not the life I want. That's what you get when you trust God. You can't predict what things are going to do, how things are going to turn out. But you can predict that if you trust God, it'll work together for good. You see how that works? Relying on God like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They weren't saved from the fiery furnace, were they? They were chucked in like coal. But inside there, you see, they didn't even fight. I wanted to preach this. They didn't even fight. They, no, I want to go home. No. Not at all. When they bound those boys up, they look square at Nebuchadnezzar and says, our God is able to deliver us from you and from this fire. And if He doesn't, we will not bow. And they bound them up and they chucked them in that fire. It was so hot, the guys who threw them in, they died. When they hit bottom, they bounced a couple of times, and then they got up and all of that lederhosen, all of that rope and things that tie them up were gone, and there was somebody in there waiting. His name was the Son of God. You know, it's worth it, trusting the Lord. He's not going to save you from the trouble, but He'll help you enjoy it. Rely on God. Rely on His will. You think you're smart? Quit trying to tell God what you want. Ask Him what He wants. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Rely on His answer. You ever prayed about something and you knew the Lord said no? How'd you like it? How'd you like it? You ought to like it as if He said yes. You know why? Because you're trusting Him. You know, when your parents told you no, it wasn't because they were being mean normally. It's because they knew better, amen? Trust in the Lord when He says no. Trust His answers. Trust His sufficiency. See, a lot of people are relying on the sufficiency of a cigarette. I just can't get through the day without this fag. Are you serious? You need God more than you need that cigarette. You need to understand that He is all you need, even when you're desperately looking for something else. When you're lonely, when you're weak, when you're poor, when you have nothing, you have to rely on His sufficiency. Rely on God. Rely on His timing. I mean, Joseph's a great illustration of somebody who had to wait on God quite a while, didn't he? 20-some-odd years he left home and didn't see his brothers. He just had to keep trusting God. And God fixed it, didn't he? What about Abraham? 25 years from the time that God promised he's going to have a child till he got him. It was worth it. A couple of hiccups, a couple of failures along the way, wasn't there? Trust in God and His timing. Psalm 95 and verse 10, don't go there for time. It says, my people do err in their heart because they do not know my ways. God says, I have a way of doing things. I just don't take you straight into the promised land. I took you out in the desert. I did that on purpose. You trust me. So why did God bring me to Ireland? I don't know. Trust Him. Why did God allow me to lose my job? Why did God allow my car to die and now I can't afford to fix it? Why did God? I don't know, and I know this. He knows better. And you have to trust Him. You're going to have to rely on His way of doing things. Rely on His wisdom. Trusting God does mean relying on God. Secondly, it means staying the course. Look back in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, in verse 10. Jesus has just been disturbed from His time of prayer. You know, the devil will always interrupt you when you're trying to pray. Jesus is some of the most intense praying He's ever done. And now there's a crowd around Him. Interrupted His prayer time. Verse 10, then Peter, having a sword. Well, look at verse, just get the idea. There's a crowd around Him. See, Simon Peter wakes up. What was Peter doing while Jesus was praying? Sleeping. So he wakes up, he sees this crowd. You got to admit, I'd like to have a friend like Peter, wouldn't you? Sees you in trouble, and he's on his way, man. Sword drawn, ready to defend you. I like Peter. You'd like to have a friend like him, wouldn't you? Peter wakes up, draws a sword. Verse 10, then Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. I would have done better than that. But he got his right ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. Watch Jesus' response. Then said Jesus back unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? This message is for every Christian in this room. That whatever God's put you through and whatever God's got you in, you need to say, I'm going to stay the course. I'm not going to quit on God. I'm not going to get upset at God. I'm not going to complain to God. I'm not going to back out on God. God's put me in this thing. He knows. He knows best. He's an only good God. The Bible says He's the only wise God. I'm going to stay the course. If He gives you a cup, what do? You drink it. you know, before I was saved, I drank everything, spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking, sometimes even physically speaking. Whatever the devil gave us, we took it, didn't we? Why don't we take what the Lord gives us? Why don't we say, if that's from the Lord, I'll take it. Stay in the course. Don't be a... You know what a jalopy is? Anybody know what that term is? Is that only an American? Americans know what a jalopy is. You know what a jalopy is? A wreck of a car. But a jalopy can be sort of sanded up and made to look well. You can resell a jalopy not knowing it's a jalopy. And you get in and you see the black coming out of the back, you know? And you hit the accelerator. Hey, it works! It works! And you're pushing it the rest of the way. Do you know what? A lot of people in this room, you're just like that. You get started with sputtering and, okay, I guess I'll go to church. Okay, I guess I'll get saved. Okay, I'll start reading my Bible. You're a jalopy. You're a wreck. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And the point is, once you get started, isn't it nice to buy a car that just runs and runs and runs? Isn't that nice? Amen? You know, when God saved us, He'd like us just to run and run and run, and He'll enable us to. Don't be a sputtering starter and stopper. Be a finisher. Here's the big one. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. What does it mean to trust the Lord? It means to endure the struggle to do things God's way. 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore we both... What's the next word? Labor. I'm a Christian. You may not have to work. Now that you're saved, yes. You don't labor one bit to stay saved. You don't work to get saved. But once you are saved, believe me, it's work. By the way, it's more fun working for God than it is for the devil. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach... Because we trust in the living God. Why would you put up with people making fun of you? Why would you put up with all the things Job had to put up with? All the things Joseph had to put up with? All the things that David had to put up? 7 years, he was crowned, he was anointed, he was supposed to be king, and he's living in caves. Why? For we trust in the living God. Who's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Do you know it's hard to trust God? Would you admit that? It's hard to trust God. It's not natural to trust what you cannot see. It's not natural when a disaster hits you square in the face to go, well, praise God. That doesn't come naturally, does it? Panic comes natural, doesn't it? It's hard doing everything God's way. Some people say, the Christian life is so hard. Yep. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why God did not leave us comfortless. Making us just do it all like they did in the Old Testament. I've got it a whole lot easier now than they did back then. It's hard. You know, it's hard loving your mate sometimes. Men, you cannot nod your head, but you women, you sure can. It's hard loving your mate. It's hard loving your enemies. It's hard forgiving. That's God's way of dealing with a problem. How do I fix this, Lord? The Lord says, forgive him. Besides that... It's hard. It's hard getting a job where you feel underpaid, but you're trusting God that by grace you're going to pay your bills because you're busy, you're working, you're doing your best. You know, it's hard tithing when you figure, Lord, I've looked at all of my income and I can't afford to tithe, but I'm going to trust in the living God. It's hard, amen? It's hard rejoicing when you want to complain. Look at chapter 5 and verse 5, 1 Timothy 5, 5. Look at this verse. There are a few in this room that might qualify for being a widow. Some of you want to be a widow. But 1 Timothy 5, 5. Look at how hard it was being a widow back then. You know, the women that laugh the most, I'm worried about. Gentlemen, you better be really good to your wife today. 1 Timothy 5, 5. Now she that is a widow indeed, and next word. What does desolate mean?
She has nothing. She's got no welfare. She's got no widow's allowance. She's got no housing income. She is desolate. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate, look what she does. Trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. You know what Paul's doing? Paul's going, woo-hoo! Wow, glory, glory! Woo! That's a woman. That's her mother. He's sitting there saying, that is a widow indeed who trusts God and she has nothing. See, we'd say, that's terrible. God says, she's trusted me, I'll take care of her. When nobody else is taking care of her, I will. That woman has washed the feet of saints. That woman has worked, has loved, has given, has sacrificed, has suffered. I'll take care of her. That's what God says to a believing widow. You say, I find it hard going without food for more than 4 hours. Endure. God says, do things God's way. Look at another one, 1 Peter 3:5. See, Paul was praising the widows who were doing that. 1 Peter 3:5. 1 Peter 3:5 says this about, again, a wife. Throughout history, women have borne the brunt of a lot of abuse. Instead of Paul and Peter and James and Jesus rising up and starting a revolution, he says, trust God. Trust God and God will fix it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse chapter 3 and verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, Brother Dennis, that just wasn't 50 years ago either. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God, they'd adorn themselves being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him, can you say it? See, I'm a guy, I can say it. Women find it real hard, amen? Calling him Lord. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. I've seen some young ladies and women just submit. Is that easy? No, it's not. You know, if you do it God's way, you know what the Bible says? God will fix your husband. You take care of the thing God's way. You say, well, I've been waiting 4 years for God to fix him. A little longer. Trust in God. Trust in God. It's tough. Hey, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Don't do that. We always use verse 6 afterwards, always. But just stop. No, it's okay. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's a hard thing. When my own understanding says, this isn't working. You sure? You sure it's not working? You sure that you're going to deny the entire Bible so that you can prove that your husband's not going to change? Endure the struggle. You know, if you're trusting God, you're going to have to endure for a while sometimes. Very important thing. Go to Psalm 73. When you're trusting God, you're drawing nigh to God. Psalm 73 and verse 28. Psalm 73 and verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. To trust in the Lord means you're very close to Him. I think it would be very stupid to have somebody so capable as God kept at such distance. I'd be really stupid to have somebody so capable as God is and yet keep Him at such distance. Well, you know, I don't want to be a fanatic now. You know, I don't want to be one of those weird people. You know, pastor can sing loud, but I'm not going to sing loud. I mean, why not? Why don't you sing like you're singing to Him? Why don't you live at work tomorrow like you're living for Him? Why don't you work? Why don't you do everything as if it's unto Him? That's trust in the Lord. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. You know, to trust God means you and Him are so close. It talks about cleaving unto the Lord. You ever heard that term in the Bible, cleave? Now, we think of a cleaver. A cleaver cuts things. But it's one of those words that had two opposite meanings depending on the context. Cleave means to cling. And a person who's trusting God has the world fall out from under them, and yet they cling to God. You're not going to cling to something you ain't nearby. You need somebody to hold on to that you know is holding on to you. And that's not going to happen when you're backslid. I heard a man, well, I don't want to say it. I got all kinds of illustrations, and I'm not going to get finished. Draw nigh to God. It's a constant walk with God, staying close to God. As a matter of fact, I think the longer you're saved, Brother Dan, the more natural it ought to be that you're just praying. And if I interrupt you, I ought to know you probably were praying. That doesn't mean you can't do your work in front of the computer or fixing a car or washing the dishes or changing a nappy. I'm not sure how you can pray while you're doing it, but you ought to try, amen. But draw nigh to God. Throughout your day, all day, in every situation, pray. You know what's going on? You're trusting God. All of a sudden, when the world falls out, you're already in contact with headquarters, amen. You're not like, I got to go pray. What do you mean? Why aren't you already? Draw nigh to God. Job chapter 2. Go back one book from Psalms. Job chapter 2. What does it mean to trust the Lord? It means to accept suffering. Job chapter 2, verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and he smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Job 2, verse 8 now. He, Job, took him a potsherd, a broken piece of a clay pot, to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then his wife said unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? You still the same man? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. What? Here we go. Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. He says, God's been very good to us, hasn't he, woman? God gave us 10 children. She said, Well, I had them. I know, but God gave us 10 children. God gave us 3,000 camels and 5,000 sheep, gave us crops and gave us servants. I mean, we're probably one of the richest families in the entire Middle East, woman, and God gave it to all of us, and now God has taken it away. Same God who gave has taken away. I will not curse God. I will not blame God. I'm just going to keep trusting Him. And Job, as we read there in chapter 13, he says, even if He kills me, I will still trust Him. What's that talking about? Suffering doesn't surprise a Christian. Say, and really, none of us find this likable. But a Christian says, you know what, I trust the Lord. I don't trust my health. I don't trust my vitamins. You ought to take vitamins. You ought to exercise. You ought to eat right. You ought to cut one half of the sugar you eat every... The amount of sugar you eat in a day, your grandparents didn't eat in a year. Even toothpaste has sugar in it. And I'm cleaning up my teeth, you know. You ought to take care of your health. You ought to exercise. You ought to sleep right. But did you know people who watch their diet, who exercise every day, who think positive thoughts, who get out 8 hours of sleep, they die of heart attacks. They get cancer. You cannot predict what's coming. Nod your head. When it does come, you know what you need to do? This is of the Lord. The Lord knows. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's trusting God. I said, you pray that God takes it away? Yeah, pray. Call for me. Call for the elders. We'll come. We'll pray over you. But I'm not guaranteeing anything. Because God's will be done. And I'd much rather this generation of Christians teach the next generation of Christians how to trust God through the valley. Because I grew up in a time where Christianity, the church that I got saved and called to preach in, and was only 5 or 6 years old, and it was growing, and I didn't know what it was to go through hard times. I watched people getting saved, people getting baptized, people loving God, loving the Bible, going to Bible college. It was all fresh to me. It was all brand new. It was all first generation. I didn't see anybody going through cancer. I didn't know anybody who had a wayward son. I didn't know somebody who was having major health problems. It took me a couple of years. You know what? I need that. Because it's coming for me. I need to watch somebody walk through the valley of the shadow of death and yet come out on the other side. Come out full of joy. Come out looking forward to being with God. No regrets, no remorse. No heartache, just praise. I need that. So does the next generation of kids. Don't be surprised when trouble comes. Ask God to take it away. Beg God to take it away. Pray that He takes it away. Get your heart right. Get everything right. But if He doesn't take it away, what do? Blessed be the name of the Lord, because I trust in Him. Don't worry about death. You know, if you're trusting God, you no longer think about death. Philippians 1:21. Isn't that funny what the world thinks about all the time? You tell me the last TV program, besides these stupid comedies. Everybody's all in these big explosion movies, stuff like this. And yeah, you watch them. But I just sit back and how much death is in our culture? Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For to me to live is, and to die is gain. What was death to Paul? Woo-hoo! Good. It only gets gooder. All right. My flesh doesn't like to think about death. There's no easy way to die, guys. This life was meant to live on. Death is part of the curse that's on mankind. But you know what? Now that I'm saved, I don't worry about death. I don't speed it up. But I don't worry about it. If I'm trusting the Lord, death is no more victory. Amen? And lastly, Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 5. Psalm 71, verse 5. I think that's right. 71, 5. For Thou art my what? Boy, isn't that a good word. O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. So he interchanges hope and trust. They kind of go back and forth. If you're trusting God, what have you got? You've got hope. I mean, we're not fatalists. The only thing Richard Dawkins can offer anybody is a hole in the ground and dirt and worms. He says, over. You're going to become part of the big cosmic supernova in the future. That's all he can promise. I've got a better promise than that. You know, if I'm trusting God, I'll have a good outlook on life. I'll actually have hope. I'll have hope that my kids will get right. My kids will get saved. My kids will serve God. I have hope. I have hope that my neighbors are going to get saved. I've got hope that just a simple track can make the difference. I have hope, amen? I have hope my insufficient prayers can make the difference for somebody else. I have hope. I have hope that when I put church first, when I'm in church on a Sunday instead of sitting at home in my pillow, when I put God first, when I read my Bible first, I have hope it's going to pay off down the rest of the day or down the road or down my life. It will pay off. I have hope. I just don't do this because I feel like it. I do it because I have hope. If you trust the Lord, you'll always be full of hope. Amen. Let me ask you, are you relying on God? God first in your mind. Do you even know Him? Do you know His promises? You're here, but leave it. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 23. Faith is what we believe. Trust is holding on to that which we believe. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. What we say is our faith without wavering. Why? For He is faithful that promised. You know, I rely on God not because I can be faithful. I rely on God because He is faithful. And that allows me to stay the course because He's not only the author of my race, which is by faith, but also He's the finisher. So where is the Lord? He was there when you started this race, and He's there when you finish. I think He can make all things work together for good. How's your struggling? How's your commitment to doing things God's way? Or is it always your way? You ever notice? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to His own way. Always gets me in trouble. I'd like to go for an extended period of time where I just do things His way. You know what that's going to be? Suffering. Not going to be all bed of roses. Not going to be what's a fast car? Ferrari. What's it say? Plain sailing. Okay. Well, I was going to say it's not a fast, fun ride either. You're going to endure. If you trust the Lord, you'll be reading that book every day. You'll be reading through that Bible. I hope somebody in this room, I mean, it's only February, you can get started on reading 4 or 5 chapters a day and be through with your Bible in a year. That's when you will trust the Lord. You say, I'm reading my Bible, nothing's happening. It will. It will. Draw nigh to God. Pray about everything. Pray about absolutely everything. Can't find the dish soap. Pray about it. Lord, show me where the dish soap is. Kids got into it. Show me where it is. Amen? Pray about everything. Accept suffering. That's trusting the Lord. Don't worry about death. Always be full of hope. I don't know. I want to go back to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. You think Jesus on that cross got there by accident? No, it was the plan of God, wasn't it? Psalm 91, verse 2. You think Jesus had everybody around Him all saying, go, Jesus, go, you're great. Boy, your faith is awesome. What was Jesus doing on that cross? He was handling it alone. Let me just finish this message with this incredible, weighty thought. When you trust God, you probably are going to be alone. Your wife won't stick it with you. Your dog won't stick it with you. You're going to have to decide, I don't care what anybody is, I know I will. I will trust in the Lord. Look at these verses. This verse, Psalm 91, verse 2. And it's a choice that Moses made. It's a choice every believer must make, whether anybody else makes it with them. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. That's a choice. That's a choice. You know how you enjoy trusting God? One last thought. I actually have a bunch more thoughts, but I'm trying to stop. Last thought. You know how you enjoy trusting God? You experience trusting God. He saved others. Look at him up there now. He can't even come down from there. You know what it says there in Hebrews chapter 12? It says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He's up there working a victory while everybody else thought he was in defeat. He trusted in God. Let him have him. He said he was the Son of God. Look what he got. People in this room, our challenge this morning is to trust God with all our heart. Not that, well, Pastor, I want to know how to be a success. I want to know how to have everything right in my home and in my family. I want to be sane again. God says, no, you can't. My will, my way is different. To trust in me involves a lot of different things. While the world doesn't understand, you and me will have the best of relationships ever imaginable. And when you get home, it won't be a surprise to you. You actually would just move from a spirit of rest to a place of rest. And I wish we all had that. If you would stand with me and bow your heads, please.